The Epic of St. Paul AME Church by yours truly, James E. Toakley, Poet Laureate, City of Tampa. Old Noah walked him 50 miles through gator barks and rattler smiles, through broiling daylight, freezing dark, to a place where he would build his ark. A covenant he made with God that every tiresome step he trod would be rewarded by and by with a church whose hat would touch the sky. A tabernacle God could see wherever Jehovah happened to be, and a congregation that would make even John the Baptist's poor heart break. But Noah was not his given name, for in his likeness others came from out of the silence that replaced the sound of a land that had lost its grace. 'Twas reconstruction, or so they claimed. Black folks were free in all but name. And at the end of a tiresome week, folks had no place to hear God speak. Not here in Tampa, till the strong and able preacher Thomas Long walked down from Brooksville all alone, across burning asphalt, sticks and stones, past all the people who could swear old Pastor Long was not all there, but they could not know that in his soul lived a Zulu warrior, stout and bold. His father's spirit by his side said, "Son, don't let us be denied." The Holy Ghost walked with him too, and gave his tired feet brand new shoes. And up from slavery, 10 years dead, was born an AME church instead. The first black church to find its place in the city of Tampa's lily white space. Bush Harbor Mission, it was called. Doors open wide, come one and all. And the first to come was Isaac Howard. Following him was his own sweet flower, better known as the love of his life, Sister Howard, Brother Howard's wife. Then came Brother Benbow and his wife, who joined Brush Harbor the very first night. By ones and twos they trickled in, till the fledgling church was packed. Amen. They worshipped in the open air, for the Spirit of the Lord was everywhere. And they used palmettos for their roof, but the Lord's Prayer made it waterproof. Amen. You tell them, saints of the dead, come down and tell them what was said and done within those sacred walls of the first black church to heed God's call. In the city of Tampa, just before the 11th year after the Civil War, on the corner of Harrison and Tampa streets, where black folks rested weary feet and filled their souls with down-home food and a holy gospel attitude. But you remember just the same that Noah has had many names, for his was a tale of many men who served Jehovah without end and built an ark for stormy seas and would name it St. Paul A.M.E. But it didn't happen in one day or in one lifetime, by the way. In 1900, the church was moved, for the trustee board said it approved, to replace Brush Harbor on Marion Street as Mount Moriah, short and sweet. For Reverend John H. Dickerson was the pastor, married to the church, which thereafter he would shepherd for the good in a holy temple built of wood. What had it seen? What did it know? Of a city whose dreams were white as snow, yet somehow managed to install black leadership in City Hall. So, as Mount Moriah's roof of tin was laid, the voices of black men were heard in city council chambers, overlooking hooded strangers. And Mount Moriah said, amen. But in 1906, she spoke again. When the leadership changed to S.T. Tice, who upon his trusty board's advice, decided that the time was nigh to build a church that touched the sky. So ground was broke, foundation laid, and church folks labored unafraid. They did not worry about the cost, for their church was paid for on the cross. So, sons and daughters of former slaves built them a church their souls to save. A tabernacle built of brick. No time was lost. They built it quick. From the memory of a great design, cathedral from a forgotten time, from Timbuktu, where learned hands of people from the motherland constructed wonders of the world. St. Paul was a copy, an African pearl. And folks could not believe their eyes. This church whose finger poked the sky, that recalled a time of gold or bronze, from Imhotep to Prester John, great fabled king of Africa, the richest man folks ever saw. In motorized lines, they came to look at what defied most history books. For black folks built it with no plan save a memory from the motherland. A brick cathedral done so well, it outdid the Henry Plant Hotel. At a cost of barely 30 grand, with S.A. Williams' steady hand, the Church of St. Paul A.M.E. received its immortality. And in 1915 stood complete on Harrison and Marion streets. Its membership, 400 strong, gave a prayerful thanks to Pastor Long and all the Noahs who had seen this ark be built from black folks' dreams. This sanctuary, womb of God, our brick refuge, our lightning rod, whose pulpit welcomed Dr. King, whose spirit made the world take wing. Inside these walls our plans were made to cross life's bridges unafraid. Blueprints were hammered out and pressed in place for sit-in strikes at Crest Department Store, where clean and neat black customers could not sit and eat, while voices raw from weeping raised their prayers as Central Avenue blazed, and brave young men in white pith hats used St. Paul's basement to recap the day's events and what to do when morning brought the men in blue. A sea of prayers and an ocean of tears as St. Paul's altar tugged God's ears, and sermons fit to rouse the dead uplifted hearts and woke up heads. In this safe haven where 'twas found, the angel Gabriel kneeling down. And in this ark, we spied God's eyes of rainbow colors, soft and wise, great cut glass windows, heavenly light that cleansed a many in God's sight, through whose panes the light of day would wash the blight of sin away and cause a city to decree, I once was blind, but now I see. And in this church, a majestic throated organ piped with perfect notes, once helped Paul Robeson when he took his place to sing and the rafters shook, and who counterbalanced many a choir whose gospel songs made souls catch fire, and when it roared, the weather vanes of heaven trembled in refrain. But this is what we remember most, St. Paul ablaze with the Holy Ghost, an arc of light bulbs all ablaze, while at the pulpit, Benjamin Mays gave an Urban League message that made folks cling to the man who once taught Martin Luther King. Bill Clinton spoke here, tousle-haired and vibrant, wrapped in the pulpit's glare. And Hillary sat but never said what dreams for the future were in her head. Roy Wilkins, NAACP, Reverend Lowry of SCLC, and immortal Mary McLeod Bethune brought pride and splendor to this room. It was here that Jackie Robinson spoke, and the thunderclouds of heaven broke as saint and sinner rose to stamp their feet and cheer their immortal champ. A. Philip Randolph took these stairs to the pulpit, and the balcony chairs began to groan as if the strain of Randolph's words was a southbound train. Bob Saunders spoke here, prayed here too. Bob Gilder exhorted a restless pew who jumped to its feet and with a note of solidarity pledged to vote. For there was magic in this place. The will of God was in every face of everyone who came to speak, from St. Paul's pulpit, strong or meek. And every politician knew they could not win unless the pew of St. Paul AME approved that by their words we should be moved. For on this altar, decades past, rank segregation breathed its last. And all God's children, woman and man, communed together hand in hand. And the Hargretts had a special seat, right across from where the Prides would meet, and the Griffins and the Farrells too. Miss Rowena Farrell Brady made sure folks knew that sacred St. Paul AME was a citadel of Black history. The AME's presiding jewel that once ran the famous Harlem School, whose school bells rang long years before either Blake or Middleton opened their doors, became the place you had to go if you lived in Tampa, high or low. Great freedom songs were practiced here, where boys and men outsang their fears, where women stood for the world to see. Henceforth and forever, they would be free. In this great ark, strong seeds were sown. The trumpets of human rights were blown. And from these doors, a human race went out to meet hate face to face. And at day's end, the day was won. God said, St. Paul, our will is done. If walls could talk, these walls would scream, for they've been witness to a dream. And the names of Noah bear witness too, for they have not stopped, though times are new. Reverends A.J. Covington, R.A. Jackson, Jesse L. Glover and S.M. Peck, Reverend J.S. Braswell, who always took his very famous little black book that had the names of all the men and women who no longer sinned. There was J.A. Brown, who was the first to build a parsonage for the church. Then Murray, Brayboy, and Sutton, who had kept St. Paul forever new. And they were followed by Charles S. Long, who did his best to keep the church strong. And during the Depression, Reverend Pape kept St. Paul open for Jesus' sake. And many others on the way kept St. Paul from the miry clay. Young Leroy Kennan came to preach and extended St. Paul AME's reach beyond its sanctuary walls to the streets and alleyways where God calls. While Pastor Washington would maintain St. Paul's historic holy name, for social gospel would not stop, nor hoopology wind down St. Paul's clock. George Champion, pastor, was well known to kick up heels to bring God home. And the line of Noah has not ceased nor left society's sins in peace, but remains a Tampa lightning rod, Reverend Bryant Fazen, man of God. And the echoes here will not abate, from Sunday schools to heads of state. The crowds that always pressed these walls, congesting a basement dinner hall, where meals were served that were so fine, even disbelievers changed their minds. Great revolutions here were planned, amidst this pyramid of hands, and Bible verses in the style and substance of our own Christ child. To the temple of St. Paul AME, who helped a southern town get free, who withstood the stormy seas of war and the national depression's great downpour. To the Noahs, them who built this ark that rescued us from the turbulent dark, we thank you, and this much we pledge, though we totter on a razor's edge of reversal and catastrophe, St. Paul is a church that will always be the rock on which strong feet have stood, who believed God's word is always good. For where the roots of a tree are strong, the tree's lifespan will be green and long, and the fruit it bears will grow ripe and sweet, for God's tree shall be a haven on a weary street. So we take up hammers, tape, and saw. We gather up nails and without pause repair those places where the walls would seem about to crack and fall. We'll replace light bulbs long since blown out, put in new faith, remove old doubt. And when new coats of paint have dried, there will not be a tearless eye. For in that future, we shall keep on Harrison and Marion streets what Pastor Long would walk to see, a reborn St. Paul AME. So brothers and sisters, Christian friends, with God's good grace, we say, Amen.